OTB AM with Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's mow.
Tonight on Off the Ball from 7 o'clock, we're going to be bringing you live commentary of Ireland against Bulgaria. You can hear it on News Talk, you can listen to it on the OTB Sports app. Just hit the radio tab. Nathan and Stewie Byrne are on commentary. The Dream Team, here's what happened the last time that we paired them together for an Ireland-Bulgaria tie.
Or you're getting this out.
So, you got to send in your jokes, right? What do you call it?
Send in your jokes!
What do you call a Bulgarian footballer with three balls? It's football related. Who to Nick Abolikov? It's quality, isn't it? It's all in delivery, Nathan.
Oh my god! Trouble Eye is gone as well. It's not just me. I can't believe that just happened.
That's perfectly.
Thank God nothing has happened on the pitch.
Send in your jokes.
Apologies if anyone's offended by that.
How can anyone be offended by that? See if you can beat
that. You'd be surprised.
You'd be surprised, Stewie.
Ah, Nathan, trying to get a gig with Sky Sports. That's what you were doing.
Wow. Yeah, apologies to everybody. Apologies to anybody offended. Yeah. That was a glorious night.
That was live on the radio. I just want to tell everybody that was actually live on the radio.
That was the middle of the first half of the game. So it was a friendly against Bulgaria. So there was only about 15,000 people at the Aviva. And to say we were getting funny looks, because as you could tell, it was deadly dull all around. So suddenly the two of us, three of us, because Joe was there as well, bursting ourselves laughing, got quite a bit of attention, particularly from everybody else who was trying to work in the media centre, wondering what the hell is going on. If we did that tonight, I suspect the management team would be able to hear it. So
yeah.
Hopefully Stewie hasn't got anything else up his sleeve.
Yeah. Listen, so you're actually going to be in the Aviva tonight, are you?
Yeah. We've been there for all the home games so far.
Right.
It's a bit strange.
Is it?
Yeah, it's... Well, I would say it's not as strange as if you were at a Premier League game where you're used to the packed houses. Like, we've been at a lot of games at the Aviva where there have been 15, 20,000 people for friendlies where the atmosphere isn't exactly electric. The strangest thing is more the game's a 6:45. Usually you're at the stadium 3 hours beforehand. You're trying to find a bit of parking. There's a bit of a buzz. You might meet a couple of people beforehand. You're probably going to meet a couple of people afterwards. Now you drive down at 6:30. You park straight outside the stadium. In fact, you can park underneath the stadium. You walk in. You don't meet anybody. You don't talk to anybody. You do the game. You go home. You come back home and you probably do the press conference with Stephen Kenny sitting on your couch back at home. So it's just a totally, totally different experience. I don't think there's a huge difference in quality or intensity if we're still in this situation come March and say the World Cup draw next month and Ireland get England or Germany or Spain in their first match and it's at the Aviva and it's empty, then you would feel it, because then you need the crowd. Then you need that sense and that buzz that this is a big occasion. And that's just not going to be there no matter who the opposition is.
There is an outside chance that we can still somehow, by our fingertips, cling on to a second seeding. So we'll be in the second pot of balls for that World Cup draw, as you've talked about, which would be significant, very significant in terms of the quality of the opposition we face, and might give us an outside chance, a tiny chance of qualifying for the World Cup as it stands at the moment. What needs to happen?
Well, Ireland need to win, first off, which is something that hasn't come easily over the last year or so. So they must win tonight to have any chance. Then they're relying on Northern Ireland beating Romania. Now, Northern Ireland, like the Republic of Ireland, are one of the only teams in the Nations League not to have actually won a game. In fact, haven't won a game over either Nations League campaign. So they're hoping that somehow Northern Ireland turn that around. Romania do have COVID issues going into that game. And then you're also relying on Russia losing away to Serbia. So three different things, not beyond the realms of possibility, but both Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland would need a dramatic change in fortunes in the Nations League. It'd be huge. It'd be absolutely massive if Ireland could squeeze in. Like, you can be second seed and still be unlucky with the draw, but you're obviously far more likely to be unlucky if you're third seeds, and you could end up with the likes of Switzerland as your second seed and Spain or England or Germany or Belgium as your top seeds, which once upon a time, there's a bit of glamour to that. at the moment, there's no even guarantee of that everyone's going to get to go and watch Spain or Germany in Dublin and that excitement that's there. So, yeah, listen, you want to get second seeds. As you said, I don't want to say it's impossible to qualify for this World Cup, but only the group winners qualify automatically. And even if you come second, it's not a straight playoff anymore. It's a round robin type series where four teams will go into the playoff and one team will come out of it. So it's, yeah, it is very difficult.
Is your sense early doors, Nathan, as well, that being second seeds, Ireland would just have a better ability to win games just by the way they're playing at the moment? So it seems that teams around them or above them, they're going to struggle to punch up. But the Georges and the Gibraltars, the teams they should be beating, perhaps that might come a little bit more routinely. Or is that just too positive to say at the moment, given what we've seen?
I wouldn't even say it's too positive. I think it's simply impossible to tell. Because the team over the last 2 months, we have no idea what the best starting 11 is. And even if we do, we haven't seen it on the pitch together. And like Stephen Kenny has definitely changed tack over the last couple of press conferences. I don't want to say he's writing off these games completely, but yesterday in his press conference, he's talking about tonight's team as being the players who will supplement the side in March. So the players who play tonight are the players who will be trying to force their way into the 23, not necessarily the starting 11, who will try and be the first sub when the changes have been made during the game, that if everybody's back fit, of the team that starts tonight, maybe three of them, possibly four, may start if everybody's back. That's how many players, first team players, we know he's missing 13, potentially 14 if Callum O'Dowda doesn't recover from his dead leg. So you've got Randolph, Duffy, Howerhan and Brady would be the only ones who would really be in with a chance of starting a competitive game. So I honestly have no idea if the way Ireland set up equips them better against the top teams and means that they should batter the lower teams, or whether it's going to be a real struggle against the top teams because, you know, they're not going to sit back and be dogged like we once were. And, you know, like the performance against Germany where you take a bit of a battering, but you nick a goal and it's this all-round celebration. I don't think anybody can make any massive judgments about where Ireland are when they're just missing so many players. It's been an absolute mess the last 2 months. Ever since that 20 minutes, hour before kickoff over in Slovakia and news came through about Aaron Connolly and Adam Ida, it's just lurched from one crisis to another. And tonight, even though they are in crisis, they somehow need to grind out a win because, listen, I think people have sympathy for Stephen Kenny and there's a certain level of understanding. To go through the first eight games without a win, if they weren't to get one tonight, is going to linger over the next 3-4 months before those World Cup qualifiers. And it means rather than the positivity that was there in September when he came in, like, it's a real backs-to-the-wall job right from the start.
Hmm. How much does Kenny have any responsibility for that crisis?
I don't think so. I don't think there's any great responsibility for the COVID crisis. We have no idea. I would still be questioning whether Connolly and Ida should have sat down the back of the plane and how that was allowed to happen. Everybody within the camp doesn't seem to feel that's the case, that the attitude within the camp from top to bottom is it was unlucky. It could have happened to anyone, anywhere. And whether they sat where they should have sat or whether they sat where they did sit, that this was just a very, very unfortunate event, considering the person they sat beside turned out to be a false positive. Like, they went over this time to England for the match and the Wales match, so there was no travelling. There wasn't as much coming together. The players, as far as we know, all travelled down separately. Yet still, COVID has managed to come into the camp. The one issue that he is going to have to deal with, and maybe tonight is a good example of that. So I do think Randolph, Duffy, Howerhan, Brady will probably all start. So they're four players right in contention when everybody's available. Randolph isn't playing for West Ham, is unlikely to play for West Ham while Fabianski is fit. Howerhan hasn't started for Villa since the last international break because Ross Barkley has come in and done so well. Robbie Brady plays the odd time here and there for Burnley. And Shane Duffy's going through the biggest loss of form of his career. So there are things that are always going to be there. There are still going to be issues come March when everyone is back together. Is Adam Ida playing, starting week in, week out for Norwich? Does Troy Parrott get a run of games now that he's back fit for Millwall? Is there a striker who's in form, who's scoring goals? So they're the sort of issues that every Irish manager is going to have to deal with. But I think having a dozen players missing for this game, and remember a month ago there was a dozen players missing as well for the game in Wales and the game in Finland, it's very, very hard to judge, to be overly critical of what's gone on. The games have been tight. I thought they were a better team against Wales. They're starting games quite well. There is a sense that they lose shape quite easily if things don't go well. But the question is, where are the goals going to come from? That's the biggest issue he faces.
Okay, let's talk about the goals, because our problems since Robbie Keane retired. And, like, Robbie Keane played an extra couple of seasons at the end for Ireland when, you know, he could easily have retired in terms of the minutes that he was playing. And, you know, fair play to him for actually coming over and putting the time in to be around the squad at that stage. So it's actually probably from before, it's a couple of years probably from before Robbie Keane retired. But since Robbie Keane retired, is a fairly before Keane and after Keane. What's our goal scoring record like?
So I was having a look at this yesterday. So since Robbie Keane retired, which is the end of Euro 2016, Ireland have played 30 competitive internationals and scored 22 goals. So far less than a goal a game. If you look at home, where traditionally Ireland should be stronger, Ireland have played, what are we at? I think it's 10 international goals. They've scored in 14 internationals at the Aviva Stadium. And some of those were against Gibraltar and against Moldova. So
these are competitive Ireland, games only. That's just
these are not the friendly. So 14 home competitive games, 10 goals in those games. And Moldova and Gibraltar during that time, the only teams that Ireland scored more than one goal against at home, Moldova and Gibraltar. And even looking further back, this isn't totally a new problem. Over the last decade, the only team of any note that Ireland have scored more than one against at home is Austria. I think that was back in 2012. So if you're looking at, we're talking about seedings, if you're talking about top seeding, second seeding, like Austria are the only one that Ireland have scored more than one goal against. And it's very, you have to be flawless at the back. And in fairness to Ireland, defensively, they have been very strong in recent years. But if you're only going to score an average one goal a game, you cannot afford to make any mistakes at the back. You have to be perfect. And Ireland haven't been over the recent run of games, which is why they're losing games. There doesn't seem to be a quick fix. Like, I've gone through who scored those goals since Euro 2016. So 22 goals. James McLean has scored four of them. Shane Duffy scored four of them. Darren Murphy scored three. Jeff Hendrick scored two. Nobody else has scored more than one. Not a single striker in the squad for tonight's game has ever scored a competitive goal for Ireland. So this is a, look, let's be honest, it's a bit of a crisis of in front of goal for Ireland. And on an individual basis, it's hard to see where it changes. I think what Stephen Kenny would be looking at, that it's not just about Adam Eda, Troy Parrott, Callum Wilson, James Collins, whoever that central striker is, that the wingers, the midfielders, Jeff Hendrick needs to start scoring more. Conor Hourihan needs to start scoring more. The players who are getting into attacking positions need to be more involved in the games. But that is real lower tier stuff. That is minnow stuff, that sort of record in front of goals over the last 3 or 4 years.
It did seem like I know the Slovakia game and the beginning of this horrible month and a half or whatever it's been, it did seem that the quality of chances, at least at the start of this period, was very good. That was presenting itself to perhaps the wrong people. I know over the last couple of games, perhaps there have been openings, there's been good periods of play without the clear-cut opportunities. But I think really the first thing to fix when you lose a striker like Robbie Keane is, can you create good quality opportunities? And I think with the vast majority of the squad available, Stephen Kenny has already shown that, yes, this Ireland team can do that.
Yeah, and I think if the Slovakia game is the one that you can point to where the majority of players were available, Ireland should have won that game. You cannot create better chances than Ireland created in that. Like Conor Hourihan has to score that. And you can say it could fall to a different player. Conor Hourihan's a Premier League player. He knows well he has to finish that chance. Alan Brown has a couple of chances in that game. You have to finish them. So when you create the chances, you have to take them. Now, in the last few games, Ireland have had decent spells of possession in the final third and have totally lacked any sort of a cutting edge. So even though it feels as though you're playing well and you're putting a little bit of pressure on, you're not actually testing the opposition goalkeeper. But the Slovakia one is the one that Kenny does go back to and will continue to go back to about how he wants this team to play. It wasn't about the strikers that night creating the opportunities. It wasn't about Dave McGoldrick creating or having the final opportunity, even though he was very involved, obviously, in that chance that Conor Hourihan ended up missing. It's about the midfielders getting into advanced positions. How often did we see Enda Stevens that night bomb forward down the left-hand side, get right into the box? That's what he wants to see, everybody being a part of the attacking force. But somebody needs to step up. And like, we need players who are getting to double figures.
Yeah. Have you picked a team for tonight?
Yeah, geez, it's very, very tough. Randolph will start in goals. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't change the back four from the game against Wales. So Christie at right back, Darrell Shea left back, Kevin Long alongside Shane Duffy in the centre of the defence. Maybe Kieran Clark comes in. I think if Kieran Clark was fit and got a run of games at some stage, he probably would be the first backup to Shane Duffy and to John Egan. He just hasn't had that. He has barely played for Ireland over the last few years, but he's back in the squad. So unless he decides to give Clark a run out, but I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't change the defence. In terms of further up, Howerton, I would expect, will start potentially alongside Josh Cullen in the middle of midfield. So sort of two sixes. And then potentially Robbie Brady just in front with Callum O'Dowda, if he's fit, on the right. I think Daryl Horgan will play again. He's done really well over the last couple of games. And probably James Collins through the middle. If O'Dowda isn't fit, perhaps he goes with Brady on the right-hand side and Jason Knight in the middle. I don't think Jack Byrne is going to start. It could be totally wrong. He may have seen enough in the positive things Jack Byrne did on Sunday to feel that he's ready for this. He obviously made the mistake for the pass for Jeff Hendrick that results in Hendrick getting sent off. So a lot depends on O'Dowda. I think if O'Dowda is fit, I'm judging by yesterday, it didn't sound overly promising that O'Dowda would start. So I would say Brady on the right, Horgan on the left potentially, and Collins through the middle with maybe Jason Knight coming in and getting a start alongside Cullen and Howerton.
What time's kickoff?
7:45.
7:45 kickoff live on Off the Ball.
OTB AM with Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's move.